God, we just come to rejoice in that gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ coming into our midst. And we just celebrated Christmas and the advent of his coming into our midst, into our world. God, with us. God, you sent your Son. And the gospel good news is that you sent your Son so that we might have everlasting life. And now we hear some testimonies coming about how you have inspired life, how you've brought life, how you brought resurrection into members of our body here this morning. And so, God, may we rejoice in that simple gospel message of that the darkness that we've been in and the deliverance that you've given us. There is no more simple gospel than that. Bring us your good news this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to invite our brother Rich Raymond to come up. I met Rich probably two years ago now, when we were all out at Marne United Methodist Church. And Rich was working with one of our other guys, Chuck Clevenger, in our Faith in Action ministry. And now Rich, he lives on my family's farm, and he takes care of the property there. And I'm really happy about that because it takes a lot of work off my dad and some of my other family members. So he gets to be a farm boy now, which is happy. He's happy about that. And also, he has a ministry on Tuesday mornings with a bunch of other guys that meet right across the street in the Masons building to do a Bible study with guys who are kind of down on their luck a little bit. And also, Rich comes in every Sunday morning and sets up the chairs and tables that you're sitting at right now, and I'm very grateful for that too. But I asked Rich to tell us a little bit about his story and what God's been doing in his life over the years. And I gave him 12 minutes, and he said, I need 40. So, but I don't really care. We're going to hear what God has from you to tell us. So, Rich Raymond.
Take care of the time. Yeah, my name is Rich Raymond, and I am truly blessed today with the people that I have in my life. It wasn't always that way. For most of my life, I have been on the other side of the law. A lot of felonies and 18 years in the penitentiary. But I always had this nagging pull at me to learn about the Bible. And so I started reading it, and then I started noticing that stuff that was in the Bible wasn't going according to what my religion was teaching me and this and that. And so I started asking questions. And lo and behold, I started getting some answers and I needed to get away from the church I was at. And so I started hunting from a church that would teach directly from the Bible. And I had a hard time with that because it was always about the man doctrines. But I finally found a few, and I've been in and out, because as we know, the devil is sneaky, and I didn't have enough willpower to resist a lot of times. And so my life, up until a few years ago, was like a roller coaster. Going downhill fast, coming back uphill very slowly. But because of the people that were put into my life, even though I lied, cheated, and stole, they never turned their back on me. You know, and then they gave me grace and forgiveness, and I thought, you guys are just flipped, you know, because I myself haven't grown enough to be able to do that for others. And I started really thinking about that, saying, you really need to delve into the Bible and start thinking about others instead of yourself. Because my whole life has been about me. And, you know, that's just the way it was. Get what I can for me and the heck with everybody else. You know? But things started to change. The Holy Spirit started working in my life, giving me a conscience, having me feel guilty about things that had gone on in my life, you know, and giving me emotions and feelings. What's up with that? You know? I mean, I never had that when I was younger and in all the trouble that I was in. You know, it didn't matter. Go to jail. So what? I'll be out. Or I'd escape. We won't go into that. But, you know, it wasn't until a few years ago that I really started to get heavy into the Bible and wanting to know what a Christian is supposed to be. And that's when I found out, because in one of our home group meetings, the question was asked, do you consider yourself a Christian? And I had to really stop and think about that. And I guess, no, I don't. I consider myself a Christian in training. Because I don't think I'll ever get to the point of the way Paul describes being a Christian is. I can strive for it. I can keep working for it. And hopefully that'll be enough for the Lord. But, you know, I want to get as close as I can. You know, I'd like to be more like Chuck. More like Dave. You know, more like Dave's family. You know, the blessings that they've, responded into me. The only thing that I don't want that Dave has is the lack of hair. So in that sense, I'm doing better than him. But, you know, that I really, really feel blessed, you know, having a place to live, you know, and coming back to the farming that I used to do when I was a kid. Not quite all of it. I was a dairy farmer. But, you know, it's just so nice. I'm more of a loner, so being out there in the boondocks is really nice for me. If I want to be around people, I can come into town. Or I got a phone. I'm constantly bothering Dave with biblical questions. You know, he doesn't always like it, but, you know, sometimes he has to send me to somebody else. Did I say that? All right, but, you know, I can't see myself going back to the way I was. I can't even fathom me doing the things that I did. So that just shows me that the Holy Spirit and the Lord is working in my life to keep me where I need to be. I don't always succeed. You know, I fail a lot. But that just shows me that I got to keep coming back. Keep coming back. Learn some more. Get into that Bible. I'm always having biblical questions, you know, because I want to know. And some things in there, I haven't been able to find out the answers that I need for me. And I honestly, you know, I joke about it some, but I think I'm on a need-to-know basis here, you know, and I'd really, really like to be able to discern the whole Bible. But it takes time. And I've been doing Bible studies now for, 10, 12 years. So I'm getting there. But it's never a race to be won until I'm there standing in front of the Lord. I just have to keep on trailing. With that, I'd like to thank you all for listening.
This song has a lot of power to me personally. You know, through life we all go through things, just as Rich shared, that are difficult. We're faced with challenges, we're faced with hardships, but through it all, you know, God's love, man. Still there, it's so good, it's so good. And things of life can be overwhelming sometimes. But there is nothing more overwhelming than that love of God. That's why this song has so much power.
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up.
Invite Michelle to come forward and give a poetic reading, I think would probably be the best way to call it, but she wrote this and gave this to her home group, which meets on Wednesday nights with the Little Arrows, Danya's group that kind of wrapped up for the season back in early December. But she gave this as a gift to her home group, and I asked her to give it as a gift to the rest of us. Michelle came to us maybe like in December, January last year, I guess still 2018, but January of 18, through Little Arrows Play Cafe, and had come, moved here recently at that point from Pickerington, I think, and was in need of some support and connection, and she found that with us, and since then has gotten involved in volunteering at the Play Cafe downstairs and taking on some leadership with the children's ministry for Sunday mornings, and now going to be leading that Wednesday night group coming up in January. So I don't know if this has a title or if you want to say anything about it, but I leave that to you.
Thank you. So the poem is called I Am, and I wrote it my senior year of college, which was like 6 years ago. And the year that I wrote this poem, it was a hard year for me. It was a year I lost my faith. It was a year I chose to stop believing all the ideals that I felt were forced upon me from an early age. I was trying to find myself, which is basically meaning I made a lot of bad life choices to see if what my parents said would come true would actually happen. So, but it was also a year of great disappointment. And not only in myself, but in the people around me. And instead of turning to God, I chose relationships. And those were constantly disappointing me. And I think this poem marks a huge transition in my life. The days before the poem were days that God was pursuing me, and I was constantly shoving him away, like, you can't fit in the mold that is my life and the flesh. And the day that I wrote it, you know, I asked, if there is a God, what would he have to say about me and about my community and the people that I share life with? So it marked the day that I started pursuing God and what God wanted and who he was and who I was in him. So this is I Am. I am because I think that I am. The earth crafted in the palm of my hand, and man molded from mud and humble earth. And that earth molds into stone, so no human walks this world alone. This I know, that power was founded in the land, not by man and all he demands, but in the sands that wash upon the seagull shore. The mountainous monuments and sunken sacred scenes upon the ocean's floor, this and more I thought you to explore. Not hoard, not take and keep for yourself to reap what others have sown. I thought you to be free and good and beauty sustained by our need for each other and with authenticity. How can you resist this? I breathed you into existence, washed your souls clean. You are the image of me. How can you not see that the earth is not some poor thing you can claim? We are all the same. I'll unthink the first finger that casts blame, especially in my name. Think, dream, together create a sustainable future. Let peace and unity be our culture, born of thought and streaming blood of my pen. Let this be what's known of women and of men. I am because I think that I am, and I thought you better than this. Thank you.
Thank you.
cannot contain it. I cannot contain this love. Oh, praise will be my song. How can I contain it? I cannot contain this love.
Amen. One more testimony we want to hear this morning comes from our brother Mike Peters. Mike, I just got to know because of his involvement in the praise band with Carrie and coming in and playing. He can play bass and guitar and drums and probably a trumpet and a trumpet. I have no idea because he can do it all. I think also you own a concrete business, right? Yeah. So he's a hardworking guy and employs people. And I know this also about Mike. He really loves to eat. I've been told if we want Mike to come around more often, we always have to have food because he goes where the food is. Yeah, yeah. So let's hear what God has done in the life of Mike Peters. Thank you, Mike.
Hello, my name's Mike. I guess pretty much my testimony really isn't any different than a lot. You know, probably all of us have strayed away, done bad decisions, made bad choices. Right out of high school, I actually was a really good kid in high school, and right out of high school, I went to the Air Force. And, I had a great parents, great upbringing. But once I got in the military, I started kind of falling away. I'd known the Lord, and my grandfather was a pastor for years, so I'd known the Lord and knew all about, salvation, grace, love, and mercy. But as I got older, like I said, once I got in the military, things are a little different when you're young and you get that freedom. And, you kind of make a lot of bad decisions and bad choices. So I guess for years that pattern stuck and followed. Even when I got out of the military, I continued to make bad choices, bad decisions. Hurt family members, hurt my parents. They were probably going, what happened? You're such a good kid, great athlete. I don't understand. But at that point, I'd fallen pretty far off. Was drinking every day, doing just whatever I could do. We were partying. We worked just to make money to go party. Like the same vicious cycle. It got pretty bad. It got to a point where my father was like, "Listen, you need to straighten up and knock it off, or that's pretty much it. I'm not going to support you. I'm not going to, supplement your needs or allow you to do this anymore to us." So, and I still wasn't listening. I'm still doing my thing. Like Rich said, you think about yourself, very narcissistic. And the great thing that I think that God really, when I really knew that God was working in my life, was I met my wife now. This was a long time ago. This was 18 years ago. But that day I met my wife. We started talking and started growing together. And we really believed that God had brought us together because she was going through some tough times and we really needed each other. And we still, to this day, honestly believe that. We believe that that is a great testimony in both of our lives, that God knew that we needed one another. So that union was set. We had five children. One great blessing, 2 years ago, we had our fifth child at 45. It was quite a surprise, to say the least. But what a wonderful blessing. But God's grace and love, even through the times when I knew I was doing things that I shouldn't be doing, and I knew my moral compass and my foundation had taught me better, I was making wrong choices and bad decisions, but still God was pulling at me because even though I was in that lifestyle, I didn't I wanted to stop, but I just didn't have the power. I didn't know how to. Once I met my wife, God gave me that gift, and that pretty much stopped it, like hitting a brick wall. And she was like, listen, if you want to hang out with me, you're not going to be doing these things. So I stopped everything, cut that off. We've been together for 18 years. It's a wonderful blessing. My family's an incredible blessing. So that testimony alone is very, very powerful in my life. I guess, though, the original testimony would be that God gave me grace, as well as you and you and you. When you accept Christ, God washes that clean. So he doesn't look back on that, on your failures and your past. He doesn't look back on your bad thoughts. He doesn't look back on your bad intentions. So that would be the strongest testimony, I think. God's grace and salvation, finding Jesus Christ. Throughout my life, there's been many times where God has spoken to me. I thoroughly try to live by the scripture, seek God first and all others. Everything else will be given to you. So as I seek God, and it's amazing the things I ask him for my supplications, and he provides for me. Well, I've been attending also Spring Hills Baptist Church for 10 years. And in the summer of 2011, I was on staff working full-time. And it was like 10:30 at night. I was closing the building down. No one was there but me. And I was walking in the main foyer. There's a big vaulted cathedral ceiling, and it's got two hallways that go down into the sanctuary. Well, I was coming up this hallway, turning out the cafe light. And as I turned to face the office and the foyer there, a very large being came around the corner. And it was about 20 foot tall. Those ceilings are huge. They're very big. And it took up the whole area, the whole room, from floor to the ceiling. And, of course, I was terrified. I had never seen anything like this. It was wearing a long white robe and had a beard all the way to the ground. Its face was kind of distorted, as if maybe a sensor bar, you know, how they censor things. So you really couldn't make out facial features. But it stood there about 40 foot away and just looked at me. And I looked at it. God spoke to me and told me that this is an angel of the Lord. This isn't happening in the moment, but is of things to come. And then it vanished. The whole incident probably lasted maybe 10 or 12 seconds, not long. And then it was gone. Never before had I experienced anything like that, and never since. That's been 7 years ago. But that is a very, very, very powerful testimony in my life, because God has shown me that glory. And for a long time, I didn't tell anyone about it. Only my wife knew for maybe a year and a half, over a year. And as I felt propelled that God was wanting me to tell that story, I eventually I told my pastor, and then we, you know, the story got out. I told the story at Spring Hills, and the only reason I tell that story is for that reason of testimony, of God's love. God is real. It is real. I know many times we question, and we're like, I can't see it, I can't feel it, it's not tangible. But I just want to tell you that I saw it with my own eyes, and I wouldn't be up here telling you that if it weren't true. In a room full of believers, even I was like, who's going to believe that? But that testimony is absolutely true, and a very, 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 very powerful stronghold in my faith. Regardless, had I not seen the angel, I would still have faith and would still believe. But this has concreted and anchored my faith. And I really just wanted to share that story to let you know that, I'm definitely not a pious, righteous man that doesn't sin. But that's how God works. God shows and uses people, broken, weak, not who you would think. But that vision, that angel, that was God telling me, seek me, continue to seek me, and I will show you these treasures. I will give you your needs. God supplies all of our things. If only we seek him first. The things of this world aren't going to give you anything. Anything. And myself, I have nothing to offer God but my heart. And I ask that you all offer up your heart to the Lord. Give your hearts to the Lord. This world will all pass away. Nothing here is going to last. But that will last. We hold on to that hope and that promise. So really, I just wanted to say thank you for all the blessings that God has given me to him. Thank you for hearing my story. And like I said, I just wanted to tell you that, to let you know that it is real. It's real. And I know the struggle is real. Life is hard. Life is real. And it hits you in the face, and it's unrelenting. And I know many have suffered loss. I've suffered loss. But if we seek God first, God will supply all things. And I'm living proof of that, because I literally, like Rich, came from, you know, down at the bottom, and really God has lifted me up above those ashes. And I just wanted to give that story. So maybe you would have hope and hold on to that hope that we have. Thank you.
Mike's just a regular guy, you know? He's just a regular guy, and as far as I know, Michelle, you're just a regular girl. I know Rich, he's a regular guy. I'm a regular person, you're regular people, but we all have stories just like that, maybe not the angel part, but just like that, where we know that we have been making poor decisions at various times, or things have happened to us that were out of our control, but yet we didn't respond well, perhaps. And yet, the entire time, we were talking with the team earlier, we discover that God has been with us through all of that time, even when we didn't recognize that God was there. I want to share just this quick scripture with you. It's one of my favorites. It's Philippians chapter 2. 12 and 13. And Paul's talking to the Philippian church, and he's saying to them, hey, as much as you were keeping the faith when I was there with you, now in my absence, because he was gone when he was writing this, he says, now in my absence, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. It's God who works in you to help you to want to do what God wants to do and help you to do what God wants you to do. But you have to work that out yourself. All of the stories that we heard this morning were people saying, I wasn't working out very well on my own until I realized that God was there with me. And now I allow God to work in me and through me so I can become more like Jesus Christ, his son. If I am wrong about how I summarize that, you correct me. But that's basically what I heard from each of those. And that is true for me, and I know it's true for all of you as well, because you all have a story that you can share, a story that God has blessed you with, and a story that brings you closer and closer to Christ. As we enter into 2019, I hope that you take that journey seriously. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God who's going to work within you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Probably some of you are making New Year's resolutions, and it's going to kick in like 2 days. How many of you are going to making New Year's resolution? I got something on goals to set. That's working out something that you have within you to do. Now, I would suggest Make that Christ-like. Let God work within you to do and to will according to his good pleasure. Well, I am so thankful for Mike and for Michelle and for Rich. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing those stories. It takes a lot of courage to come in front of these very friendly faces, but it still takes a lot of courage to come up here and talk in front of a microphone. But maybe that's something you can do, and maybe God has a story within you that God is leading you to share with us as well. And if that's the case, let me know, because we value that story, and we want it you to be able to tell it if God's leading you to share it. Well, we have one more song we want to close, and so what I'll do is just have the team come up and lead that song. And we'll use that as sort of a benediction. I'll give a prayer, but one little instruction for you. We have all these poinsettias up here that need to go to loving homes. So one of these goes to Mariah and Michael Riedel because they paid for it. But the rest of them, the big one. So you got to get the big one because he did it. That was all him. It's huge. It's huge. But that's the way Michael rolls. So you guys take that. But the rest of them, please come forward. Take one. Take it home. It's a gift to you to brighten your home for the next, or however as long as you can keep it alive. How about that? But let's pray, and then we'll have Ben and team lead us in the last song. God, thank you for this time together. We thank you that you have worked in each of our lives individually. Maybe we didn't all have the courage to share it today, but we know that you have worked in us and worked through us, and because we wouldn't be here without you. I know without you working in my life, I probably wouldn't go to church on Sunday morning at all, let alone be a pastor. So God, thank you for that. And continue to work in us to will and to do according to your good pleasure as 2019 rolls around. God, thank you for the faithfulness of the servants that we heard from today and their courage to share your story in them. God, we know that it's from you that all these things happen. And it's in Christ alone that we get our grace and our faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.